Coming at you from just outside of Yellowstone National Park, this is a special edition of This Week in Yellowstone. This episode, we take a deep dive into the visitation statistics of 2024 in Yellowstone National Park. It's an abrupt ending, like we do every week here on This Week in Yellowstone. This is a special episode. It's not necessarily going to be everyone's cup of tea. It might be. I don't know. I shouldn't downplay this because I find it fascinating, so someone else might. But this week, it's the official title I have is This Week in Yellowstone, A Closer Look at 2024 Visitation. Now, what that means is, as of today, Wednesday, January 15th, Yellowstone National Park just updated their visitation statistics, which means that I got to do a very nerdy deep dive this morning into some of those same visitation statistics for last year. So 2024 is over, and that means that, like I said, it's time for visitation statistics for the previous year. Yay! The major news is that the park experienced its second biggest visitation year in history with 4,744,352 visitors. This is a 5.4% increase in visitation from 2023. And for those curious, 2021 was the biggest year in park history with 4,860,242 visitors. Now, I covered that little snippet right there in this week's This Week in Yellowstone. If you haven't listened to that, that is my main podcast that is on this feed. So if you're only listening to this one, weird. But, you know, I get it. Sometimes I listen to one episode of a podcast. But like I said, every week I tell you what's going on. And then sometimes I will do something special like this of things that fascinate me or something that someone has asked me to do. No one has asked me to do this. And maybe they will. Maybe you'll ask me to stop. I don't know. But we are going to find out. So I'm going to kind of have a little rant at the beginning. Bear with me because there are some important things that I am mentioning. But really, when we talk about visitation in national parks, nearly every time people say the numbers, there's always then a narrative of, well, that's too many people. It's overcrowded and we're loving our parks to death. So this is what I wrote about that. While some use the beaten and overused narrative that we are loving our parks to death, it's really just become a fun thing that people say. I don't know if fun's the right word, but you get it. Most of the time, these are never proven with actual science or statistics. They're, as I said, a fun clickbait narrative highlighting bad behavior in long lines in park. Long lines in the parks. But what's the truth here? So for fun, I took a look at Yellowstone National Park visitation each year and compared it to the U.S. population in each of the corresponding years. In the last 14 years, there's been an increase of just 0.02 of a percentage point. In the past, I've looked at all NPS visitation and compared it to the U.S. population. And guess what? There's basically a 1-to-1 correlation between the population increase in America and the increase in park visitation. Now, if my math's correct, that means that the popularity of the parks actually isn't growing. The growth is instead tied directly to our country getting more people. I'm going to revisit these numbers over and over again because it's a long-standing theory that I've been working on. I will do it again and update you when the entire National Park Service releases their visitation numbers, and I'll let you know what I find. Now, I mentioned poor behavior a second ago. And if you go online, you'll see numerous instances of poor behavior at Yellowstone National Park. I do not deny that these things are happening. Bad behavior exists, has always existed, and will always exist in Yellowstone. We are never going to stop it. My main source of ire from the bad behavior talk is that it's not as bad as social media actually shows. Everybody says it's never been worse, where that's not really true. People fed bears in the 60s and early 70s from their cars. People walked through thermal areas from day one of the park. People also used to hunt animals in the park, despite it being illegal. And that, I think, is worse behavior than a few things here and there. One of the main reasons I feel that there's an increase in rule-breaking behavior for many people is that more incidents are just being filmed and reported. If you were in the park in the 80s and 90s, people were still approaching wildlife, but it wasn't filmed by seven different people with multiple angles. So bad behavior is existing. It is happening in the park. But here's some fun about that. And I'm using fun kind of sarcastically, so sorry about that if you didn't pick up on that yet. Yes, there are badly behaved people still. However, we had 4,744,352 visitors to the park this year. Let's pretend that 1% of visitors got off the boardwalks, petted animals, and generally were breaking rules left and right. That would mean that 47,443 people were doing this. That's not even close to the number of occurrences. It's far too high. Even one half of 1% is still 23,721 people petting animals, jumping off the boardwalks, and breaking other park regulations and rules. Again, that's too high of an estimate. One-tenth of 1% is 474 visitors, which is more than one person a day going off the boardwalks and approaching wildlife in a truly unsafe way. I'd be happy to double or triple that number, but the law enforcement numbers probably don't support even that high of a percentage. Now, here's kind of where I want to challenge this everybody's poor behavior, look at how they're approaching animals or stepping off the boardwalks. There's other ways to break the rules that we don't talk about, and I'm more than happy to quadruple my numbers of incidents if we include some of these things. Let's throw in speeding. Let's talk about driving under the influence. I think saying a few thousand people a year doing that in the park sounds correct. But social media and websites don't talk about speeding or driving under the influence when they're talking about bad park behavior. This is why I lose respect for people who use the word Touron and constantly talk about the viral videos they see in the park. It's not the reality of what's going on in the park. I know. I'm in the park all the time. Yes, again, there are people breaking rules, not denying that. But it's not this rampant, everyone's doing it, the park is going to hell sort of thing. It's just not happening. Okay, rant's over. Let's get back to visitation statistics. So the monthly visitation in 2024, January had a little over 42,000 people. February had a little over 49,000 people. March had over 32,000. April with over 71,000. May had 522,450. June had 914,612. July had 992,353 visitors. And August had 868,259. September had 852,435. And October had 346,025. Before November saw just over 20,000, and December had 30,000. In the 366 days of 2024, the park had an average of 12,963 people a day. I rounded up on that one. It was like 12,962.7863 or something like that. With all those people, one thing I really like to look at is how many cars were in Yellowstone in 2024. So we're also going to throw in snowmobiles real quick. There were 3,260 snowmobiles that entered the park in 2024. Those were either from people with permits or snowmobile tours, primarily, actually only happening, I won't say primarily, only happening in the winter months. One of the things that people like to complain about is all of the tour buses in the park. The tour bus number for 2024 was 5,397 for the entire year. Now, recreation vehicles, how most of us get in, driving our own cars or a rental car. There were 1,779,012 recreation vehicles entering the park in 2024. So anytime I hear there's too many buses in the park, there were 5,397. There were 1.7 million cars. You know, so do with that information what you will. What were the most popular entrances to the park in 2024? I'm just going to read down through there and then talk about each one. So the East Gate had 166,942 cars, and the busiest month was July with 37,711. Overall, traffic during the summer at this entrance was below the 10-year average. Now the North Gate up in Gardner saw 533,276 cars, and the busiest month was also July, with 89,826. Overall, traffic during the summer at this entrance was above the 10-year average. However, there were rarely, if ever, any lines to enter. The Northeast Gate, out by Cook City and Silvergate, they saw 133,228 cars enter, and their busiest month, July. I think you're going to see a trend here. July had 29,437 cars entering. Overall traffic during the summer at this entrance was above the 10-year average. So the South Gate, down as you're headed toward Jackson, and the Tetons saw 290,623 cars, and the busiest month was July with 65,893. And the traffic during the summer at this entrance was below the 10-year average. Now, the West Gate. The West Gate saw 777,409 cars, and the busiest month was July with 168,579. Overall, traffic during the summer at this entrance was above the 10-year average. And then I do have to include Highway 191. This doesn't really count as an entrance station. It's the road connecting Bozeman and Big Sky to West Yellowstone. So it's actually a highway. It's not really the park. It's in this gray area. But they saw 1,095,111 cars. And overall traffic during the summer along this stretch of the road was above the 10-year average, something that you see most everywhere in the park. So as always, West Yellowstone was the busiest entrance for the year. In June, West had 151,177 cars. July saw 164,541. August had 136,492. And September had 132,527. To put that in perspective with the rest of the park, the second busiest gate in those same months was the North Gate in Gardner, and they saw about half or less than half the number of cars per month that West Yellowstone saw. So where does everyone stay when they visit the park? I mean, we kind of know this answer, but I like to break this down. The total overnight stays in Yellowstone for 2024 were 1,262,912. Concessioner lodging, which is the lodge that's inside the park, saw 684,474 stays, with June being the busiest month. The concessioner campgrounds were 425,948 stays, with August being the busiest month. Now, the National Park Service campgrounds saw 110,267 stays, with July being the busiest month. The backcountry, that is run by the National Park Service, saw 37,280 stays, with August being the busiest month. And then there were some miscellaneous stays. There were 4,943 miscellaneous stays. And from what I can tell, that is the Youth Conservation Corps and construction crews staying, and they're counted separately. If I get any information about if that's true or not, for sure, I will let you know. But that is based on my best assumption of just kind of looking through all of this for the last decade like I've been doing. So I mentioned backcountry camping, and it's something I want to talk about briefly. So backcountry camping was down 2.6% from 2023. And 2024 was the lowest backcountry camping year since 2006. Now, technically, 2022 was lower, but the park was closed for a few weeks, and access to the Northern Range, where a large amount of backcountry camping occurs, was severely limited in access for most of the year. So that's kind of, that's thrown out as a non-normal year. The decrease in backcountry camping speaks to the movement of most park visitors over the last two decades. Fewer people are going beyond the paved roads and established camping areas, and so it's making the wilderness of Yellowstone even more wild than ever. Now, obviously, the 37,280 people in the backcountry is quite a lot, but that number is, like I said, it's lower than every other year except for 2006, excluding 2022. But we are seeing less people camping, and there's a few reasons for that, but largely it's just a lot more effort and it's a little harder to do, so not a lot of people are doing it. So if you want to see Yellowstone, how very few people are doing it, start camping in the backcountry. All right, so what months are getting more busy? I didn't have a good title for this. I'm sure someone else will think of one. So if you do, let me know. I will happily change it for next year's, if I remember. If you remember, probably won't. So what's getting busier in the park? When is getting busier in the park? And I've written about the myth of visiting an empty park in September. A lot of people say, well, if you want to avoid people in the park, go in September. The kids are back in school and it's empty. And I am here to say again, that is not true. The end of September is less busy than the first part of the month, but September is very busy. It sees nearly the same amount of visitors as the park does in August. In 2014, September saw 571,764 visitors, and that was 200,000 less visitors than August of that same year. In 2024, a decade later, September had 852,435 visitors, a decrease of just under 16,000 from August of 2024. That is a huge jump. There's other months that have seen a big increase as well, but September is the one that I hear most often about, oh, it's so empty. It's not. There's lines in West coming in. It's still a busy month until you get to the second half of the month, and then it starts to drop off pretty quick. So October has also seen a big increase in visitation over the last decade. Visitation numbers in 2014 were 194,804 and rose to 346,025 in October. The increase in visitation is occurring every month of the year. I mean, obviously, if we're growing in visitation every year, then every month will be higher. But there's a few more big jumps. So April has more than doubled in visitation in the last 10 years, seeing 71,784 visitors in 2024 compared to 31,356 in 2014. May has also gotten busier, gaining 200,000 people for the month in the last decade. November has nearly doubled over the last decade in visitation, but still remains the least visited month. 2024 had just 21,133 visitors. And even March, when people say March is the worst time to visit the park, you'll hear that a lot. March and April, worst time to visit the park. It's not true either. People just, it's a different park visit, but there's no worst time. But March has risen from a little under 19,000 people visiting in 2014 to 32,000 people in 2024. So what does all this mean for visitation in 2025? Great question. There's a lot I could say that would just be me talking nonsense, but here are some things that I can that I will be willing to at least not wager on, come close to wagering on, if that makes sense, because I'm not a gambler and I don't believe that if I gamble on something that'll ever happen. So, you know, I'm a Mariners fan, so why would I have hope that anything I want to happen will happen? Not that I want these things to happen. Weird aside, sorry, let's get back to this. Anyway, I see in 2025 that there is a good potential for us to see the busiest May in history. That's not really going out on a limb too far. That's kind of what things are shaping up to be if the weather holds. July may crack the million visitor mark for the second time in history. It may seem like, really? That's only the second time? But yeah, it's only the second time. And 2024 came so close. They were 7,648 visitors short of a million. I think September visitation will continue to grow, as will nearly every other month. I also anticipate that the north entrance at Gardner will get a little more busy than in previous years. In 2020, it was COVID. 2021, still kind of a weird COVID year. Not everything was open. 2020 also had a fire that happened in Gardner. Then 2022, the flooding happened to limit people's ability to enter the park from the region for the entire summer. And even last year, I was hearing that people didn't think that the north entrance to the park was open. It's been open. It was only closed for a couple months during the flooding of 2022. It's been open, and more people are realizing that. So I see some potential for lines actually developing in Gardner, where the last few years we really haven't. That's kind of my guess for 2025. So I'm going to wrap this up now, as I could either stop here or go on for another hour or so, as I love getting in the weeds on these numbers. The biggest takeaway to have from this is that the park will be busier through June, will be busier from June through September than any other time of the year. It always is. Yes, park visitation is increasing, but not to an alarming rate. Our country is growing in population too, so don't let the amount of people visiting Yellowstone each year keep you away. If you want to visit the park, come visit the park. If it inspires you, then come visit. Like, don't let any numbers scare you. Numbers are just part of the story. The park's huge. So there's tons of lesser known but equally stunning experiences. But also, if you're kind of wanting to visit the park and you need advice to avoid some crowds here and there, let me know and I'll do my best to help. Throughout the year, I'll be giving tips and tricks from a local, since I'm a local, on how to avoid the busiest times of the day at the well-known locations. I also have some guidebooks to help you find solitude beyond the boardwalks and where to see the wildlife in the park. I also offer hiking tours far from the popular spots, helping you see the true wilds of Yellowstone. With that, I'm going to end this, but I do want to say that all Yellowstone visitation statistics used were from imra.nps.gov. This Week in Yellowstone is brought to you by the Outdoor Society, because that's my company, and that's where this is hosted. There are no sponsors, there's no ad breaks, this is a labor of love, so thank you all for listening. Copyright 2025, baby!